Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Peter. Well, if you remember on last week's show, we talked with Access Anna about the Android and smartphones in general. And on this week's show, she's actually going to walk us through some demonstrations of how she uses the Android.
Let's let Anna reintroduce herself.
I'm Anna from the Accessible Android blog. If any of your listeners ever decide to go Android and visit the Eyes Free list, they'll find me there as Anna G. When I'm not being an Android person, I'm an English teacher and a translator and interpreter.
So let's go to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Anna.
When you're learning your new Android phone, put the old phone away. What happens when you switch back and forth between your old phone and your new phone is that you'll think about all of the things that your old phone did beautifully and get frustrated because your new phone doesn't do that. Whereas if you force yourself to use the new phone, you'll figure out how your new phone does all or most of the same things. The experience will be less frustrating overall, and you'll learn the new device more quickly.
What a great tip. You know, I was thinking about that, and so often you get used to doing something a certain way, and when it comes time to learn something new, either use a new device or do something a different way, it's so easy to fall back into your old habits and use those old crutches. But, you know, as she points out, unless you throw those crutches away, you're just never going to do things the new way because it's always a little bit more challenging and a little harder, a little bit more frustrating, and you're tempted to do things the old and easy way.
But it's also, in the long run, better if you do learn how to do things the new way, because that's your new tool and it was devised to work in the new way, better than trying to force it to do however you did things with your previous device or previous operating system or whatever.
All right. I look upon it as an investment. I mean, often when you're learning something new, you know, at first you're not very productive and it is more frustrating and can't get as much work done, can't be as efficient. But it's like putting money in the bank. You know, you work on it and it doesn't pay off for a while. But after you've made that investment, you stick with it for a while. All of a sudden, you have a lot more money in the bank. Well, in this case, if you put the time and investment into learning some new tools, you might be able to make your job more efficient or do something a different way that makes it more fun or enjoyable or easier.
Or at least stop wasting time crabbing about how, geez, why did they have to change that? You know, you just get used to doing it the new way and move on. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about selecting a smartphone. There are lots of choices, and you have to pick one if you're going to buy one.
Well, and it's not easy. You walk into these cell phone stores, and first of all, there's an array of different phones, and it's very confusing to know what the different features are and how they work. Secondly, it's a big investment. I mean, you're committed for usually a couple of years if you want to get a plan with a carrier to get a discount on the phone, because otherwise they're very expensive if you just buy them without a plan. And so, you know, in some sense, taking a big risk. You want to make sure you make the right decision.
If you're thinking about getting an Android phone, the best thing you can do is to go into your provider's store and actually put your hands on a phone. If you want Android 4.0, then pretty much any phone will do. But if you want Android 2.3 and earlier, you need to have a physical navigational controller on your device. Examples would be 4 arrow keys, a trackball, a trackpad, or a D-pad. Something you can touch with your fingers to arrow up, down, left, and right. A hardware keyboard is nice too, but it isn't quite so necessary. Put your hands on the phone, find out what's available, and choose what's right for you. And remember, you're more of an expert than the store staff is, so don't be shy about telling them what you want and telling them to go into Settings and Accessibility to turn on TalkBack, which is the screen reader developed by Google. And in the case of Ice Cream Sandwich, they also need to turn on Explore by Touch, which allows you to run your finger over the screen to find out what's on it.
As Anna points out, you really are more of an expert in some sense than the salespeople. First of all, you know what your requirements are, you know what you need, you know what you want the phone to do for you. But also, many of these salespeople are not real familiar with the accessibility options and how they work in a phone. So, you know, it's up to you to do a little bit of that homework, to listen to shows like this, go out to the net and do some research, talk to other people, see how these things work. One other thing that Anna mentions here is the use of a D-pad or a virtual D-pad. And what this is you may be familiar with buttons that look like a little circle, and if you hit the top or the bottom, you can move up or down or navigate up or down. And if you hit the left or right of the button, you can scroll sideways left or right. So that's all she's talking about there.
We've been into a number of stores looking at smartphones because we've been agonizing over whether or not we should get one, and we finally did. And all of the salespeople that we've run into are trained in how to get into the accessibility mode on the various phones, and they'll do it for you, but they may not know so much about how to work the phone once it's in accessibility mode. So that's when all that research up front that Pete was talking about really comes in handy. Ask the salesperson to put it into accessibility mode, and then don't really get your hopes up that they'll be able to show you all of the different gestures that you're going to need to use.
Well, that's correct. And it's not just a matter of being in accessibility mode that makes it accessible, but for each particular phone, the iPhone, the Android, there are specific hand gestures and specific other things you need to know on how to navigate by using a speech synthesizer and gesture navigation.
You are listening to Viewpoints. Viewpoints.
For this week's focus topic, Anna put together a number of demonstrations of the basic functions of the Android. Let's start at the beginning. The first thing you need to know is how to get the thing going.
Android phones are touchscreen phones. Most of the time they're asleep, so that you can put them in your purse or pocket without activating any controls. But when you're ready to use them, you need to wake the phone up. So I'm going to do that now by pressing the power button.
10:36 a.m. ringer 100%.
Touching the center of the screen and sliding my finger down until I hear.
Right for unlock, left for camera.
Slide my finger right.
Device unlocked, launcher.
Now I can touch any part of the screen, and if I want to activate a control, I lift my finger and touch the same part of the screen again.
Well, at least we can get into the phone. That's an important first step, isn't it?
And here's what you'll find once you've got it turned on.
Once you wake up your ice cream sandwich phone, you can use Explore by Touch to find out what's on the screen. The screen itself is divided into four areas. Near the top is the notification area. This gives me status information like signal strength, battery level, and time and date, but it also tells me if I have any new text messages, email, upcoming calendar events, etc.
1216 battery 47%, 900080003498, VZW free MSG. Your bill is ready to view online. Visit verizonwireless.com or dial #val send for balance info. Updates are available ASAC Fresno 24 degrees C.
If I keep sliding my finger down, I get to the main area of the screen, which is called the work area. This has shortcuts to some commonly used apps. I'm going to run my finger down the screen to give you an example of the ones that are on my phone.
Search. Translate. The Voice for Android.
Near the bottom of the screen is the dock. This is a row of five apps that appears on every home screen, and these are apps that I would use very often. For example,
phone.
The phone app.
People.
The contacts app, which is called People.
Apps.
Apps, which is a list of all of the apps on my phone.
Messaging.
Messaging.
Browser.
And the browser. And below that, along the very bottom of the screen, are three buttons that appear on every single screen whether you're in an app or not. These are back.
Back.
Which puts you in the previous screen. Home.
Home.
Which takes you back to your home screen.
Recent apps.
And recent apps, which brings up a list of the last half dozen or so apps I've used. Sometimes there's also a menu button in the far right corner.
As you can hear, that's a nice, clear, and understandable voice. Now, what Anna was doing there, and what's new in this version, Ice Cream Sandwich, of the Android operating system, is that she's able to just take a finger, and as she moves around the screen and touches various parts of the screen, what's underneath her finger is spoken to her. In previous versions of Android, prior to 4.0, prior to Ice Cream Sandwich, you needed to use one of these D-pads or some kind of navigation buttons in order to move back a link at a time or a button at a time and navigate sort of like you would with a screen reader in Windows or on a Mac PC.
So in her description of what the home screen looks like, she mentioned that up at the top there's a bar displaying the current status information. And that's called the notification bar, and here's a little more information on that.
To check notifications, I can touch the notification area with one finger, and then slide two fingers down the screen.
12:23 battery 44% alert May 28, 2012 system settings, clear all notifications.
Now the phone automatically reads all of my notifications, but I can slide my finger down the screen to go through them one at a time. I have an app that alerts me of calendar events, so you'll hear that it's Memorial Day weekend.
Today, now, Memorial Day.
I also have a weather app that gives me weather information, so you'll hear that too.
24 degrees C.
I have two text messages from Verizon Wireless.
9000800003498 VZW3MSG. Your bill is ready to view online.
Now I also have some email.
Isaac, about the app.
And I'll find out that I have an update ready for one of my apps.
Google Plus, one update found.
Google Plus, for those of you that don't know, is Google's version of Facebook. So if you're interested in doing some social media and contacting with other people, that might be a good application for you.
So far, Anna's shown us how she can read what's on the screen, but really, this is a smartphone. You want it to do things for you, and where would you want it to start? It's a telephone. You want to make and receive telephone calls.
To make a call with Android, I'm going to first, find the phone icon on my home screen, touch it, lift my finger, and touch it again.
Phone. Phone.
When I launch the phone app, I might find the dial pad or I might find my call history, depending on what I did the last time I used this app. I'm going to touch the screen to check things out.
7, 8, 9.
Good, I have the dial pad on the screen. Above it is an edit field, which I can touch to check what I'm entering. And above that are buttons for calling up the dial pad, the call history, or a list of my favorite contacts. I'm going to call a friend of mine by exploring to each digit, lifting my finger and touching again.
2, 2, 5, 8, 8, 9, 9, 6, 6. 2, 2, 8, 8, 1, 1.
Before I dial, I want to double check the number, so I'm going to touch the edit field.
Edit box 2896281.
Good. So I'm going to find the dial button, which is below the dial pad.
0. Dial.
Touch that.
Click. Phone dialing contact photo 2896281000 on hold
2896281 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
I'm going to hang up by pressing the power button.
Launcher.
There you go.
It may at first seem daunting to figure out where things are on the screen, But, you know, after you use these applications for a while, you begin to learn where on the screen you can touch to be most likely to hit the object or the button that you're looking for. So you learn what the screen is about after a while. Also, with these phone apps, I mean, Anna showed you how to use the dial pad by dialing in a number at a time, but you can also go through and find a contact and just bring up that contact. And if you click on that, it will automatically dial that contact. So there are other ways of doing things, and you know, we don't have time to show you all of them.
But we just wanted to let you know that all of these things are not just possible, but really fairly straightforward.
And it actually works as a phone.
Amazing. One of the next most important things about a smartphone is its ability to get and send email. Well, let's see how you do that.
I want to read my email message, so I'm going to explore to the message and then lift my finger and touch in the exact same location.
Google Plus, one update found. Isaac. Clicked. Web view.
Sometimes I can read the message simply by sliding my finger over the screen.
To me, May 27. Expand recipient details image.
In this case, I don't think I can, so I'm going to turn on my virtual D-pad.
Navigating.
And press the down button to scroll through the message.
Down. Comment. Down. It is truly a nice and useful piece of information. I am glad that you shared this helpful info with us. Please stay as up to date like this. Thanks for sharing. Down. You can see all comments on this post here.
When I'm done reading this message, I can touch the home button.
Home. Clickable.
Lift my finger and touch it again.
Clicked. Showing items 1 to 7 of 11.
And scroll through other messages that I may have, simply by running my finger down the screen.
Subject. 9 friends awaiting your response snippet. Facebook, hi Anna. You have to. Subject. Updates to Twitter and our policies snippet. Image, hi Anna G. Image, new things are always happening here. And subject.
And if I find home, lift my finger and tap the button again, I will get back to my home screen.
Home. Search. Search. 12:37 Monday, May 28th, Verizon Wireless.
Right back to the beginning. Now, Anna was nice enough to keep the voice at a slow enough speed so that those of us who aren't quite familiar with this voice or is used to it can understand it. But obviously, on all these phones, you can change the rate of speech or the volume. And once you become used to these, you'll certainly want to listen a little bit faster to what you hear on your phone.
There are some gaps in accessibility with the Android, but there are also ways to get around them.
Email gives me an opportunity to talk about some gaps in accessibility that Android has. For example, Android phones come with 2 apps for reading email. One is called Gmail, and it reads, you guessed it, Gmail messages. The other one is called Email, and it reads other types of email messages. For example, Yahoo messages, Hotmail messages, AOL messages, and messages from your own Internet provider. The Gmail app is accessible, but most other email apps are not. So if you're blind or have low vision, you would read other types of email messages with a free app called K9 Mail. As far as I know, that's the only other email app that is accessible.
But at least there's a way to do it.
Right. And again, you know, accessibility isn't perfect across the board on any device. Each of these devices and operating systems has their own little kinks, and it's just a matter of working around the kinks that you find in your particular device.
You may have heard of Siri on the iPhone, especially if you watch TV and you've seen any commercials. The Android phones also have what they call personal assistant apps, and there are several of these.
One of the handiest types of apps that you can have on your phone is a virtual assistant. These are apps like Vlingo, V-L-I-N-G-O, Eva, E-V-A, Evan, EVAN, and Genie, JEANIE, that let you interact with your phone hands-free. I'm going to use the app called Genie to send a text message to a friend of mine.
Apps. Launcher. Genie. Clicked. Hi.
Send a text message to Wendy. Are we still on for dinner?
Send text message to Wendy. Are we still... Really send text Wendy. Are we still on dinner to Wendy? Your message is on its way.
And these personal assistants can be a great assistance in using these phones. I mean, although Anna showed you how you could use the keypad in the phone, and you can obviously have a keyboard with alphanumeric characters on there to type in names and email messages, it can be a lot easier if you can just dictate the message or just tell your application what you want to do. Open an email, call a phone number. That makes it so much easier.
And that may take a little bit of getting used to. Many blind people are used to having their computers talk to them. You may feel a little strange talking to your computer, but this thing's a telephone. You talk into it all the time. So if you want to talk to the phone, no one's going to think you look like an idiot. They'll just assume you're talking on the phone.
It can be like your new friend.
And if you don't happen to have any visually impaired friends with the kind of smartphone that you just bought to ask questions of, well, there's lots of other people out there who figured it out. They may not live down the street from you, but with the benefit of the internet, you can get to people all over the world and get information. In fact, when we got our new smartphone, we actually bought it at Radio Shack and signed up for our new plan through Radio Shack, although it's a Verizon plan. And they gave us an 800 number, and they said, here, 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call this number, and somebody reasonably intelligent, because we tried and we discovered he was pretty intelligent, at least the one we talked to, will be there to help you and answer any questions. They want you to be able to succeed with your new device. So whoever you buy it from, there's probably a help desk available to you to answer any questions you have.
And as I've mentioned on this show many times in the past, I mean, let Google be your friend. It is incredible how much help is out there on the web. If you've had a question, chances are someone else has had a similar question. And if you do a Google search for what you're asking about, you'll often find many people with the same experience who have worked it out or at least have some ideas on how to work it out. So let Google be your friend.
Now for this week's high-tech item, additional resources to help you use your new smartphone. Here's where you can get some online information and help.
When you're learning to use your new Android phone, you have a number of online resources at your disposal. One of them is my blog, the Accessible Android blog. It's got tutorials on how to make phone calls, start accessibility, and perform a number of routine tasks. In addition, there's a heading called More Information on Android and Accessibility, and below it is a list of links to other useful resources, including the blogs, websites, and podcast pages of other blind Android users. The other great online resource is the Eyes-Free Android list, which I also link to for my blog. It's a pretty busy list where Android users can post questions about problems they're having or suggest great apps that they've found to be particularly accessible. The list is pretty busy, so if you'd rather not get a lot of email, you might subscribe and set yourself up for digest mode.
And don't be afraid to ask questions. I mean, really, these systems get so complicated these days and they have so many details that there's no one person who knows everything about any of these systems. So it's just a matter of networking with other people, trying out some things, experimenting, and knowing where you can hunt for information.
Another resource is to listen to some other previous Viewpoints shows on accessibility of smartphones. We did number 1145 with Mike Arrigo, who's done a lot of podcasts, especially about telephone accessibility. And 1227 last week was kind of part one of this two-part mini-series with Access Anna talking about her new Android smartphone to go along with all of the demonstrations from this week. And then at some point in the not-too-distant future, we'll do another show on the accessibility of the iPhone.
So there are lots of resources out there. And as usual, we'll have links to many of these resources in the show notes from our webpage. If you go to www.viewpointsplus.net, follow the links to our podcast, our show archives, and associated with each show, there's a link to show notes with other helpful links, contact information, phone numbers, etc.
Although the Android and the iPhone both have a lot of accessibility features built in, and they're always improving, there's also another application available that was developed specifically for the visually impaired for a more robust experience.
If you want to try the world of Android, but are a little nervous about venturing into the world of off-the-shelf accessibility, you can try a suite of apps developed by Code Factory, the maker of MobileSpeak. This suite of apps is called Mobile Accessibility and costs about $100, though some providers like Sprint and AT&T provide it to their subscribers for free. What this app does is provide a simplified interface for users to access the phone's most common functions: text messaging, email, web surfing, calendar, alarms, etc. Even if your carrier doesn't offer this app for free, there's a 30-day trial so you can play around with it. And during your month-long trial period, you can venture out into other apps and slowly get used to Android to maybe try life without it.
So it's nice to know that although there are some kinks in the Android operating system, I mean, these things are always developing, that there is at least one third-party app that's written specifically to improve the user experience for visually impaired folks. And you might want to take advantage of that if you don't want to work around the little quirks that are still in the operating system.
That's it for show number 1228. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about martial arts for the blind. We'll be talking with Joshua Loya, who's totally blind and recently achieved second-degree black belt status in each of three martial arts, two of which involve swords. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.